Kirk, how are you, Matt?
Very good, Mr. Greger. How are you?
I'm doing well. It was interesting today. The I can't remember which drug commission came out and is ripping the CFL for their lackluster drug testing. Do you think it's ever going to improve?
Well, if the heat, if WADA keeps the heat on like they're doing, I assume something might happen eventually. But we are talking about a you know, a collective bargaining agreement item. So that that takes quite a bit to make a change there. The CFL's done a very good job of ignoring WADA so far. And I think if they think if you ignore it, it'll go away. But these guys kind of like to be heard, you know. So they'll keep firing bullets at CFL, and we'll see if the CFL decides to do something about it. But the whole idea of these guys, these draft picks, being able to juice up and then get drafted, and kids who don't dope and sit at home and don't get drafted, that's got to stop. I mean, that's a terrible message to send. So hopefully the CFL and CFLPA, which they did say they would come to some sort of an agreement on something to do with that, hopefully they'll get that done soon and then maybe look at making their current drug policy a little more, you know, a little more tough, I think. It's not really tough right now.
Yeah, that's definitely fair. If you... you can't just turn a blind eye to somebody who's been busted.
Yeah, no, the first offense is, you don't, nothing have, well, you go to counseling or something, right? So, whoop-de-doo. Apparently, there are reports out there that some guys have played in the league for 6 years and have never been tested. So, yeah, they have a little bit of work to do when it comes to their drug policy, for sure.
Let's look at the rosters have been set. Of all the cuts across the league, Kirk, was there one that surprised you?
Not really, you know. I guess, believe it or not, it's Jeff Tisdale in Montreal, and I know that doesn't sound overly exciting, but the guy's been a turnover, an interception machine. Nobody in the CFL has more interceptions in the last 2 years than Jeff Tisdale. I guess that means they're throwing it at him because they think they can beat him, but... you can look at that stat two ways if you want, but the guy makes interceptions, and I could understand them cutting Brandon Whitaker. I think those were probably the two biggest names who got cut across the league, and you could understand the Whitaker move just because of the injury history he has, but, you know, Tisdale hasn't always had the best reputation. It's not like he's that shut-down corner guy, but he makes plays, and I was a little surprised to see him go, but I suppose that means that he fell victim to the new CFL rules and can't cover like the other DBs that Montreal had in camp. So,
well, and that was my one question. Is he can't cover, or the reports are that Montreal asked him to take a pay cut and he said no?
That is possible too. I hadn't heard that, but that's always a possibility when you're talking about Jim Popp. he's the king of that, that's for sure. So I don't know if Jeff Tisdale ends up anywhere else, but you know, the numbers show that he can probably still get the job done.
What's your expectations for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers?
I see them making a push towards the playoffs, maybe giving it a shot, but I think it's going to be tough. And we're talking here as long as everything and everybody stays healthy, which, of course, won't happen. But, you know, if all things are equal, I still think the Bombers still have at least another year of growth to do. They did improve their offensive line. Drew Willie does have a second year under his belt, or he is going into his second year as a CFL starter. They have a more traditional defense this year, none of this Gary Echeverry craziness that they had last year. So I think they're going to be a better team. I think they could possibly win, you know, 7, 8, 9 games, somewhere in there. But all things being equal, if Travis Lule and Darian Durant can stay healthy, they are in tough, I think, to make the playoffs.
Well, yeah, they're in the West. If they had stayed in the East, I'm sure they're regretting that as an organization. Like, they must look back at that and say, man, what a bonehead decision.
They aren't saying that from a financial perspective, and we all know money makes the world go round, right?
Okay.
Because you get the riders twice. They had the riders twice last year. Both times you had 33,500 people at Investors Group Field. Cha-ching. That's the upper office here in Winnipeg was mighty happy about moving to the West. That's what they said when they decided to do it, and they've always said traditionally we're a West team anyway, so that's why we're going to go back to the West. But yeah, if they had stayed in the East, who knows? They could have.
Hell, they could have been
a great cup.
I was just
going to
say, you never know what could happen there. What do you make from afar of the Eskimos basically not even playing their quarterback in preseason?
You know, I was going to ask you about that, Jason, because a person I talked to in the CFL told me yesterday that people are now whispering around the league that Mike Riley could have a concussion. Have you heard anything about that?
I'd be very surprised about you're talking about that hit he took.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that one at all. You know, Riley told me that coach told him before, no matter what happens, you're only playing a series. Now,
okay.
You know, whether or not that's the case, we'll see. But I heard that and I went back and watched that play over and over again. And
mm-hmm.
Now you never know with concussions, but man, I've seen Mike Riley take hellacious hits.
Oh, yeah.
That never left him concussed. That one was, you know, in the scale of Riley hits, that one was pretty low.
Right. But you never know with those, right?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, it's very true.
That's a little strange, you know.
We'll
you
find out
play.
At practice tomorrow because right. The Eskimos had it off today, so I think we'll know right away tomorrow. I was just told from two different sources who I trust that it was kind of a game plan, really. I was a little surprised that they put all this time in Franklin in the preseason, and then they list him as their number four quarterback.
Yeah.
Right? Because Lynch, their number three, is basically there in somewhat of a gimmicky number three quarterback role. They bring him in certain run situations. He's an up back on, you know, similar to Pat White last year.
Right.
I kind of thought they'd use the number three spot to really develop a guy with Matt Nichols a year away from free agency.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming they think that Franklin is that guy, right? And you can still develop him.
Yeah.
But CFL teams more and more are using that third down or that third string guy to be that guy who comes in and, you know, punches the ball or runs it or does some crazy stuff. But back to Riley, they should have played him at least a half. For to only play him like that, it doesn't make any sense. The guy has to play more than that in the preseason. That's why my spidey senses were tingling as well.
What's your expectation? The Toronto Argonauts, like without Ricky Ray, and you know, I saw the preseason win they had, and you know that's great. But what do you make of the Argonauts? They got new ownership. They just handed out 3-year extensions to their coach and GM, so they feel like their football ops are in the right hands moving forward. Can that team win without Ray?
I think it could in that division that it plays in, especially. And don't underestimate how important getting those extensions this morning were. I realize, you know, players are always looking out for themselves and looking to make their dollars and win their awards. But, you know, having that stability in that organization, I think is pretty key. And Trevor Harris, he's been around, you know, he's put in his time and he looked pretty good. I saw him play in Toronto a couple weeks ago when the Bombers were there.
What?
You know, he's not terrible. I know that's not exactly a ringing endorsement, but he'll be able to run that offense. And it's the rest of that lineup. It just seems like they lost a little bit too much in the off season right now. So I know they didn't make the playoffs last year, and I think there's a chance they could even go backwards more this year. But I don't know if it's going to be just because of Trevor Harris, and it doesn't. It's Ricky Ray thing, it's got to be one of those Travis Lule things. I'm telling you right now, he's going to be gone for a lot longer than everybody thinks he's going to be gone. So that will add to Toronto's problems. But, you know, they salvaged a little something, I think, today when they gave those extensions to Milanovic and Barker. And just, you know, that organization needs stability. There's been no stability anywhere in that organization. And now they have a little bit more of it. So it just won't be enough to make them a better team, but we'll see.
And lastly, Winnipeg hosted a few games for the Women's World Cup. How was that received?
Very well. The place was rocking. There were driving to the stadium or driving to near the stadium where the Bombers had training camp because of the World Cup. There were American fans everywhere. Winnipeg got two American games, so the Yankees were all over town, and it was quite the party. It was the big story here in Winnipeg, and lots of fans went out for the games, even the ones that didn't involve the U.S. So it was pretty cool, pretty good, and hopefully there's a little bit of a legacy when it comes to soccer in this town.
We appreciate your time. We'll talk to you lots throughout the season. Should be a very interesting CFL campaign this year, and hopefully the offense matches the defensive play last year.
We can only hope.
Yeah, we'll see. Got to have some healthy quarterbacks to do that. Kirk Penton from the Winnipeg Sun.